naš kraj bu vilnim znov, prolevali svoju krov. Kozaki, kozaki, zaspívajmo ž bratja na vsi polosi, mi je vinni zaporozki kozaki. Налевайко сахайдачный Дорошенко, и Хмельницкий, и Мазепа, и Шевченко, и Трасилой Хонта, и Залізняк, и Семон Петлюра, отаман козак. Трасило, Хонта, и Залізняк, и Семон Петлюра, отаман козак. Процвітала знов, а в ній процвітали правда і любов, щоб Україна процвітала знов, а в ній процвітали правда і любов.
Козаки, козаки, заспіваймо ж браття на всі голоси, ми є вільні запорозькі козаки.
Winnipeg, Manitoba, that was Shum from their first CD, which is self-titled, and Yak Surme Zahrayut Kozatska Slava. And that is a medley of two Ukrainian folk songs translated, When the Trumpets Sound and Kozak Glory. Добрий вечір, шановні радіослухачі, та вітаю вас всіх на радіопрограму «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння, котра подається вам сьогодні ввечері, як звичайно, щосуботи, а щосьогодні, на багатомовній радіостанції АМ-1320 у місті Ванкувері. При мікрофоні Павліна, дякую, що рішили перебути зі мною сьогодні ввечері. Hello there and welcome to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio here on AM 1320 CHMB Vancouver. I'm Pavlina, your host. Thank you so much for joining me. We've got a great program lined up for you. We've got news from Ukraine, courtesy Ukraine Today, as well, because March is Shevchenko month. We've got a little story for you. It is a cultural capsule recorded a few years back for Nash Holos by Vasil Pavlovsky. It is still very much timely. Thought I'd share it with you again, the story of an unusual friendship between an American black actor and Ukraine's national bard. As well, we've got our usual proverb of the week, other items of interest, and great Ukrainian music. And up next, Horpina from Poland and Marusia.
Marusia, raz, dwa, rykalina czornia.
Cheers. Thanks to the foresight and generosity of its donors, the Taras Shevchenko Foundation has been investing in the future of the Ukrainian-Canadian community for over 50 years. Since 1963, the Taras Shevchenko Foundation has been funding initiatives that strengthen our Ukrainian-Canadian identity and enhance our Ukrainian-Canadian cultural heritage. These include fine and performing arts and arts groups, museums, cultural centers, education, as well as authors, journalists, and the Ukrainian-Canadian media, including this program. The foundation strives to become the premier not-for-profit foundation in a Canada which acknowledges the Ukrainian-Canadian community as a fundamental component of Canadian society. Nash Hollis listeners are encouraged to support this vision through continued donations into the future. To apply for grants, make a donation, or for more information, visit ShevchenkoFoundation.com.
For the cost of a cup of coffee a day, you can give a destitute family in Ukraine food, hope, and a better life. Please open your heart and share your good fortune. Sponsor a Ukrainian child today. Details at www.heart.ca. That's HART.ca.
Hi, I'm Vincent Reese from Edmonton's Cobblestone Freeway Cultural Tours with exciting news. Our 2015 tours are up and ready to go. Join us for a unique cultural tour. We have trips to Eastern Europe, including Western Ukraine, Hungary, and Croatia. Plus, we're going to Costa Rica, Brazil, and Argentina. So visit our website for photos and details. Cobblestone Freeway, we're in Edmonton and ready to go. So book today. Visit cobblestonefreeway.ca.
From Nashville, Tennessee, that was Sonia from her CD Vid Shcheroho Serdzia, From the Heart, and the words of Shevchenko set to music, and that was Dume Moi, My Thoughts. Up next, more Shevchenko made contemporary. This is from a recording by Dumka from Edmonton made back in the 1980s. It is from a vinyl recording called Soundscapes. And this is a song that has been referred to as Rollover Shevchenko. It is Sunset Zakhodit, Sunset.
Заходит Бори чорніють Пташечка Тидне Полені Міє Радіють люди Що почтуть А я дивлюся І серце мину Денний Денний заточо На Україні Темний садочок на Україну Лину я лину Угадаю І ніде серце Отпочиває Чорніє поле І гай гори На синє небо Зоре, зоре, і сльози кануть. Чи ти зійшла, чи на країні, чи очікає тебе шукають. На небі синім, чи забувають, коли забуть. Мою долинку старі не чули, ай про мою долинку старі не чули. Тобі не чули, ой, про мою доленьку, тобі не чули.
Лай-лай-лай-лай, лай-лай-лай-лай, о-о-о-о-о-о.
Слухайте українську радіопрограму «Наш голос» на багатомовній радіостанції AM 1320 CHMB у місті Ванкувері.
This is Stefan Andrusiak from Rushnechok, and you're listening to «Наш голос» with host Paulette McQuarrie. Дорогі слухачі, від всіх наших членів оркестри Рушнечок, великий привіт вам! Ви слухаєте радіопередачу «Наш голос».
Hello, I'm Vasily Pavlovsky, and this is Cultural Capsule, especially for Nash Holos. One day short of a year of this week's Cultural Capsule, I concluded my segment with the following words of today's persona. O bury me, then rise me up, and break your heavy chains. Add water with the tyrant's blood, the freedom you have gained. That freedom was sought not only by Shevchenko for his people, but also by an Afro-American actor by the name of Ira Aldridge, who through self-imposed exile was acting in Britain. In April of 1846, Shevchenko was arrested and exiled as a private in the Tsar's army to Orenburg, and while the period of exile was never stated, it was expected to be for life. In her memoirs of Shevchenko, Ekaterina Yonge, the daughter of Fyodor Tolstoy, head of the Academy of Arts, wrote, "Maybe my father was a participant in the matter, inasmuch that he vehemently abhorred serfdom and really felt for the young poet and artist. He made many appeals on behalf of Shevchenko, and then one evening in the autumn of 1857, my father woke us all from a deep sleep. 'Get up, children, there is great happiness.' We went into the parlor, then he told us Shevchenko had been freed." When Shevchenko finally arrived in St. Petersburg in the spring of 1858, he went directly to the Tolstoys to thank them for securing his freedom. Through the Academy of Arts, he received a small two-bedroom flat with a bedroom and a studio. "And our home was his home," wrote Yonge, and continued, "though one of the greatest events of that time was the visit to our capital of the African tragic actor Ira Aldridge. He and Shevchenko became inseparable. They had so much in common. They both had clean, clean souls. They were incredible artists, and they both had memories of oppression from childhood. While they could not understand one another without a translator, they sang each other's songs of their homelands and understood one another." Aldridge, who had a hard time pronouncing Slavic names, simply referred to Shevchenko as the artist. It was on December 25, 1858, when the 14-year-old Ekaterina and her 10-year-old sister escorted Aldridge to Shevchenko's studio for a portrait. Aldridge, by his nature, could not sit still for long, and he was fooling around with us, making faces and danced a jig with my sister. But it wasn't long before the portrait was finished. "Then we all went to our place to drink tea," wrote Yonge. Recently, a number of things have been written and presented on the friendship between Ira Aldridge and Taras Shevchenko, and this week's Cultural Capsule featured just a small fragment of that friendship as told by an eyewitness.
Now the latest news stories from Ukraine, courtesy Ukraine's first international English news channel, Ukraine Today.
Russian-backed militants are amassing heavy artillery in depots around Donetsk. The Ukrainian army spokesman's claims on Tuesday appeared to highlight how fragile a peace plan brokered in Minsk last month actually is. Andrei Lysenko said in the preceding 24 hours, Ukrainian positions were attacked 31 times, five of which involved artillery shelling. He added that no Ukrainian soldiers had died in the same period. The rebels continue to transport equipment and artillery ammunition intensively via the Debaltseve railway junction and build weapon stores around the city of Donetsk. Ukrainian troops patrolling near Donetsk airport say sniper fire from militant positions has increased in recent days. Smoke rises from a nearby building, a sign not all is quiet on the front line. Yesterday they were shooting at Avdiivka village, and the day before they shot towards us as well. And what were they shooting? Mortars from behind houses. You can see where from. It can't be anything but a provocation. The Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe is charged with monitoring the pullback of weapons. It says observers can't fully confirm the removal of the militants' heavy weapons because full access to their area has been prohibited. Further claims that militants were violating the Minsk peace plan were also echoed by Ukrainian Foreign Minister Pavlo Klimkin.
We discussed in detail their logic and all kinds of breaches by Donetsk and Lugansk in the process of withdrawal of heavy weapons. we stressed the point that we have been carrying out this process in accordance with all requirements of the OSCE monitoring mission.
Meanwhile, German Foreign Minister Frank-Walter Steinmeier said that a solution to the crisis in Ukraine was still a long way off. We know that the road we've traveled constitutes to the first steps of calming down the situation, but we're all still very far from the solution. We anticipate that a great deal of further action and commitment will be required of us. I also need to underline again the financial engagement with which we'll have to support Ukraine, given its grave economic situation. Ukrainian forces finished completing the pullback of multiple Grad rocket systems, among other heavy artillery, last weekend. Another Russian truck convoy supposedly carrying humanitarian aid will depart next Thursday for militant-controlled areas of eastern Ukraine. That's according to the deputy head of Russia's Emergency Situations Ministry. Details about the number of trucks and the contents of the convoy remain unknown. Last weekend, a fleet of Russian trucks crossed the border without approval of the Ukrainian authorities. Moscow claimed that the extraordinary convoy was intended to help families of miners killed in an underground explosion near Donetsk last week. Ukrainian officials say the trucks are actually used to funnel fighters, artillery and other supplies to support militant forces. Ukrainian border guards and observers from Europe's OSCE rights group are prevented from inspecting the shipments. In January, President Petro Poroshenko claimed that Moscow was sending pseudo-assistance consisting of fuel and weapons, all while thousands of Donbass residents desperately needed help. Ukraine's National Security and Defense Council Secretary Oleksandr Turchinov has also previously linked the escalation of insurgent attacks on Ukrainian military positions and the arrival of Russian aid into Ukraine. President Petro Poroshenko has said that a quarter of all Ukraine's industry has been forced to stop working due to the Russian-backed war in the country. In an interview broadcast on Ukraine's first national TV channel on Monday, the Ukrainian president added that 10% of industry had been destroyed and that defense spending, as of this week, stood at about the equivalent of $3.8 billion. The president also revealed the number of Ukrainian soldiers who have died during the conflict in East Ukraine. I want to say that, as of today, the number killed equates to 1,549 military personnel. Russia's intervention in Ukraine has added another burden to Ukraine's economy, which is teething on the brink of collapse. The central bank hiked interbank interest rates to 30% last week, as officials eye another portion of a $17.5 billion International Monetary Fund bailout. The president admits that these factors are taking their toll on the economy. As long as there is war, investments will not come to Ukraine. We must tell people the truth. The Ukrainian president also laid out his ambitious reforms program as Ukraine seeks to apply for EU membership by 2020. Initiatives to build a different economy and overcoming corruption through new laws and harsher punishments are needed, although Poroshenko warned that the country can only survive if Ukrainians remain united.
Former U.S. National Security Advisor Zbigniew Brzezinski says that the U.S. should provide weapons to Ukraine in its fight against Russian-backed insurgents. At a conference at the Center for Strategic and International Studies in Washington, Brzezinski also emphasized that Russia is not ready for even a small war with the West. Brzezinski added that the U.S. and its European allies should continue imposing sanctions on Russia. The Kremlin has become increasingly isolated internationally over its destabilization of Ukraine. The conflict with Russian-backed militants in Ukraine's east has been raging for nearly 1 year, claiming some 6,000 lives in the process.
A Ukrainian who fled Crimea following Russia's annexation of the Black Sea Peninsula last year is among a number of volunteers in Poland giving round-the-clock care to terminally ill children. Masho Kuchaova coordinates operations at this hospice in the southern city of Katowice. She says abandoning Crimea was not an easy choice, with the knowledge that many fellow Ukrainians are currently in need of help back home. I had to think twice whether or not I should stay and survive in Crimea. It's hard to leave your family, your possessions, home, and the places you like. And I love Crimea very much. I love the mountains and sea. But I still think that what counts most is human dignity. One of the patients here is 6-year-old Mihail, an orphan who suffers from a number of neurological disorders. He's been cared for in this hospice for 5 years. He needs constant medical attention, something ordinary orphanages cannot provide. In spite of the hard work, Masha says that volunteering is worth it. It's worth it to sacrifice your time and your strength and your heart in order to give something to another human for whom this may be the last moment in their life. Many volunteers at this hospice are medical students. Pilar arrived from Chile, where she studied dentistry. She explained that, in her country, there are no centers of this kind, where terminally ill people can live out their lives and die with dignity.
I've always think that you have to be empathic, you know, to take the place of the other one. And I will definitely bring this idea back to Chile to see if there is any way or chance that we can do this same project back in there in my country.
The chairwoman of the hospice said the idea of creating such a center came from her travels in Ecuador, where she was treating adults and children in a hospital there. It's an indisputable fact that the thing that connects us all over the world is the common care of someone who needs help. I assume that if that's the aim of human life, then you can learn it the quickest in such places as a hospice. Yolanta hopes people who visit the hospice will be able to promote her ideas of a specialist hospice and spread them around the world.
In the wrecked suburbs of Debaltseve, 77-year-old Ukrainian pensioner Lydia Stepanovna is trying to come to terms with the events of the last few months. She'd lived here quietly for 16 years until January, when her town became the focus of a massive pro-Russian rebel offensive and the brief epicenter of a new standoff between Russia and the West. Rockets rained down, and the house next door took a direct hit.
One night, I was just turning over in my bed. There was a distant boom, and then suddenly, there was a huge barrage of shelling landing everywhere around here. I was so scared. I never heard such a huge sound in my life. I was crouching next to the cupboard, praying to God to help me or kill me quickly. I didn't want to be left disabled.
The stress of the war has taken a terrible toll on the elderly of Ukraine. Many now live without water, gas, and electricity. The UN estimates that 60% of the internally displaced are senior citizens, who often experience poor health and increased anxiety.
Every day there was bombing. When you go out to the toilet, you are afraid. When you go to drink water, you are afraid. When you're bringing water and the bombing starts, you throw it down and run. Bombing lands on all sides.
Many elderly people in rebel-held areas haven't received their pensions in months. The rebel authorities have distributed aid and recently paid out $40 per person to tide them over. On the wall in Lydia's kitchen, there's a tattered picture of a hearty breakfast, but on her ancient stove, there's only dried bread and the onions, apples, and walnuts she gathers from her garden. Lydia's best friend Luda is 80 and lives across the street. She lived in her basement for a month during the shelling.
You can see all the windows in my house are broken, and you can see my roof is full of holes. When the rain comes, the water will get inside.
With her house open to the weather, Luda says she now has a cough that won't go away. This is not Lydia and Luda's first war. Both were children during World War II and remember the German invasion of 1941. Lydia's mother worked in a local factory at the time.
We were living near the chemical plant and it was bombed all the time. We remember the bombers in the sky.
Today, Lydia's son is fighting with the rebels, but she says she just wants the war to stop.
This war is happening for no reason, for no reason. No one in the world can understand why this war started. Even when the German soldiers were here, we didn't see such things like we see today. When I left this town, it was ruined enough. But when I came back, it was so ruined that I just started to cry.
The elderly of Ukraine have suffered through two wars on their soil. Now, as their country buckles under a new round of fighting, it is they, perhaps more than most, who can comprehend its futility. Patrick Wells for VOA News, Debaltseve, Ukraine.
The National Bank of Ukraine has set the hryvnia exchange rate at 21.73 to a dollar as the national currency continues to bounce back from record lows. The rate is the same as the one Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko ordered more than a week ago, and it's also the same figure the Ukrainian parliament based recent budget amendments on. The head of the National Bank, Valeria Gonturova, has said earlier that an exchange rate between 20 to 22 hryvnias per dollar is part of the requirement to unlock the next tranche of its $17 billion US dollar IMF rescue package. Ukraine's economy is set to retract by 12% by the end of 2015, according to Bloomberg Business, with the inflation rate jumping to 28.5% in January. The Ukrainian national currency has lost 70% of its value since the start of 2014.
Whilst some women in Ukraine were being showered with flowers and gifts for International Women's Day, others were marking the event on the front line of the conflict in East Ukraine with Russian-backed militants. Jadwiga, as she is known, worked as a policewoman before the fighting began in Ukraine in April 2014. Now she serves with the army in a variety of roles, sometimes gathering intelligence, at other times working as a nurse or a soldier. I think that I'm the richest person in the world because war gave me so many friends. Thank God for them all. Vitaminka, meanwhile, gave up her business at home and left for East Ukraine, saying she wanted to protect her country. My life is in the Lord's hands. If he wishes, I can survive even the most severe fight. Ukraine's female soldiers say they are ready to fight until the end and will continue to defend their country. Some 50 Ukrainians in the Russian-occupied Crimean Peninsula gathered to celebrate the 201st birthday of renowned Ukrainian poet Taras Shevchenko. They brought flowers to a monument of Shevchenko, even though local authorities had not given permission for the meeting to take place. The authorities said the ban was made on the grounds that the squares near the monument were occupied by other activists, but those who came to pay their respects said they didn't see anyone else around. The fact that nobody saw the meeting is advantageous for the authorities. We held a meeting, but nobody saw it. The activists brought Ukrainian and Crimean Tatar flags and wore Ukrainian national clothes. Shevchenko was a very respectful person who loved his motherland and would never betray it. I came to hear at least one Ukrainian word. I want to know when we will be released from the occupation. I love Ukraine so much. Three of the activists were arrested for using Ukrainian symbols. They will appear in court this week.
Russian President Vladimir Putin has disclosed details of Russia's annexation of Crimea in a new documentary which will be broadcast on Russian television. Putin said the plan was hatched as former Ukrainian President Viktor Yanukovych fled to Russia. In a trailer of the film, produced by Russian state TV Russia Odin, Putin says he tasked the Russian special forces with saving Yanukovych's life. Putin said, quote, "I invited the chiefs of our special services, the Ministry of Defense to the Kremlin, tasked them with saving the Ukrainian president's life. He simply might have been eliminated." Putin described an all-night meeting in which he and his top advisors discussed the situation in Ukraine and concluded that they needed to return Crimea to Russia. Unmarked soldiers began appearing in Crimea in late February of 2014. At first, the unknown forces stormed the regional parliament building and installed new authorities. The Little Green Men, as they were referred to by locals, also stationed themselves near Ukrainian military installations throughout the peninsula. The Kremlin initially denied having anything to do with the events in Crimea, although Putin would later admit that he indeed sent Russian soldiers into Crimea ahead of the annexation. Since Russia seized control of the peninsula, it has faced sanctions from the United States and Europe over what they have called a breach of international law.
Russian MPs have accused Ukraine of misrepresenting historical figure Volodymyr the Great. Volodymyr was the ruler of ancient Kiev in Rus, the first Eastern Slavic state which was founded around 879. Following an order from Ukraine's President Petro Poroshenko to honor the Grand Prince, the Kremlin claimed that Volodymyr the Great is a direct ancestor of Russians because during the prince's time, Ukraine didn't exist as a country. What's more, the Russian government started a special nationwide campaign celebrating 1,000 years since Volodymyr's death, but instead of using the term Kievan Rus, it only used ancient Rus.
У них немає тої історичної глибини, тисячолітньої глибини, як української цивілізації.
If Russians don't have a thousand-year history, they will borrow it from their neighbor and call him a fascist. They will say that the Ukrainian nation is defective and it didn't exist at all.
Тобто це, безумовно, комплекс неповноцінності, який...
A so-called Ukrainian altar at St. Peter's Basilica in the Vatican is taken by many as evidence that Volodymyr was the ruler of an ancient country located on Ukraine's territory. It shows Volodymyr the Great holding the trident, which was the emblem of Kievan Rus and remains the emblem of modern Ukraine.
Ukraine's Black Sea resort city, Odessa, is famed for its beaches and nightlife. But beneath street level, the city also boasts some of the world's longest catacombs. Extending for a total length of over 2,000 kilometers, Odessa's tunnels run underneath the city itself and in the surrounding region. The Odessa catacombs trace their origins to extensive limestone mining in the 19th century, with much of the quarried stone being used to construct Odessa itself as the city expanded and grew during the second half of the 1800s. Local legend has it that the existence of this vast subterranean complex is one of the key reasons why Odessa has never had a metro transport system, despite the city's long-standing status as a key regional capital. The tunnels are perhaps best known as a refuge during World War II for Soviet partisan forces fighting in southern Ukraine. Many of the relics from this era, including partisan kitchens, washrooms and sleeping quarters, remain on show today and can be viewed by tourists. Tours of the tunnel network are not to be approached lightly. The vast complex of catacombs has never been fully mapped, and many sections are regarded as unsafe. Nevertheless, visitors continue to be drawn to this underground world, just minutes from the glamour of Odessa's Black Sea beach resorts.
And with that, we've come to the end of this week's Ukraine News Roundup. For more breaking stories on Ukraine, follow Ukraine Today on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and their live blog at uatoday.tv.
Ви слухайте українську радіопрограму «Наш голос» на багатомовній радіостанції AM 1320 CHMB у місті Ванкувері.
Це маленький хлопчик, що носить короткий чубчик і мріє про мир у домі, а треба то стане в окоп обороні. Укроп, це школярка юна, окутана стягом жовто-блакитним, горять у неї очі, як веде маскувальну сітку до ночі. Укропця лагідна мати, що молиться до світання. Укропця суворий батько, що є патріотом рідного краю. Укропця бабуся старенька, що в'яже панчох і захиснику. Укропця дідо сивенький, збирає боязь серце частнику. Укропця ти, укропця я, Україна, укропів земля, укроп. Всі яни по полю бореться за свободу і волю. Укропця ти, укропця я, Україна, укропів земля, укроп. Всі яни по полю бореться за свободу і волю. Поки не пізно, ховайся по скалю, то поки живий. Укроп голови не схилить, і навіть вистої смерть. Укропа рано накриє, а він все одно підніме свій меч. Укроп – це ти, укроп – це я, Україна, укропів земля, укроп. Всі яни по полю бореться за свободу і волю. Укроп – це ти, укроп – це я, Україна, укропів земля, укроп. Всі яни по полю бореться за свободу і волю. Народ єдиний, укроп то народ міцний, укроп ніколи не згине, укроп вічно живий, укроп то народ єдиний, укроп то народ міцний, укроп ніколи не згине, укроп вічно живий. Укроп це ти, укроп це я, Україна, укроп і земля, укроп.
Кам'яний по полю бореться за свободу й волю. Кров це ти, у кров це я, Україна, у крові земля. Кров зіяний по полю бореться за свободу й волю.
And Haida Makia from Ukraine with a song called Ukrop, and that is an original composition. Of course, it translates as dillheads. It is a Ukrainian one-finger salute to those who have disdain for Ukrainians' fondness for that particular herb. Very healthy for you. Again, that was Haida Makia and Ukrop. There's an old Ukrainian song that was heard again recently after protesters were fatally shot in Kyiv. It is the story of a woman whose son leaves to fight. It's now become sort of a cross between an anthem and a dirge, first sung widely in memory of the Maidan massacre of a year ago, what is now known as Nebesna Sotnya, the Heavenly Hundred, and now of the valiant 21st century struggle of Ukrainians for freedom, one of so many throughout the past several centuries. The title of the song is Plevokacha, which translates as A Duck is Swimming, one of those songs on a nature theme, which is not really about nature. Well, perhaps it is, I guess, about human nature. Hey, see the mallard floating on the Tisin River. Mama, do not scold me. You will scold me at the wrong hour. I don't know where I will die. I will die in a foreign land. Who will choose my grave? Strangers will choose my grave. Will you not grieve then, my mama? How will I not grieve then, my son? You once rested on my heart. You rested on my heart. There's a rendition of this song that's gone viral in Ukrainian circles recently. It was performed at a Ukrainian singing contest by Daria, or Darena, Stepanyuk from Ushorod. This delightful young singer stole the heart of the judges, in particular one of Ukraine's most popular and beloved rock stars, Sviatoslav Vakarchuk of Okean Ilze. This clip includes some of the reaction from the audience. Here is Daria Stepanyuk with Plevokacha.
Oh. Доброго вечора.
Слава Україні.
Героям слава.
Here's what's coming up this week in Vancouver's Ukrainian community. On Wednesdays, catch Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio broadcasting live from Nanaimo to North and Central Vancouver Island, the Gulf Islands, the Sunshine Coast, Northwest Washington State, and in the Greater Vancouver listening area. Wednesdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Pacific Time on CHLY Radio Malaspina, 101.7 FM on the radio dial and streaming online at chly.ca. This Friday, there will be a pierogi supper at the Ukrainian Community Society of Ivan Franko in Richmond. The hall is located at 5311 Francis Road between Railway and No. 2 Road. Doors are open from 5 till 7:30 p.m. For more information, call the society at 604-274-4119 or visit www.ivanfranco.ca. Channel 8 Omni airs two Ukrainian language TV shows in the Vancouver viewing area. Kontakt TV Sundays at 7 a.m. with repeats Tuesdays at 9 a.m. and Thursdays at 7 a.m. And Forum TV Sundays at 8 a.m. with repeats on Tuesdays at 10 a.m. and Thursdays at 12 noon. And at 6 p.m. on Saturday evenings, flip your radio dial right back here to AM 1320 CHMB Vancouver or catch the live stream at am1320.com. And join me for another hour of fun on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. In between broadcasts, make sure to follow Nash Holos and me on Facebook and Twitter. And for audio archives, transcripts, podcast feeds, and more, visit our website at www.nashholos.com.
Слухать соловейка, мов згоду не чув.
More of Shevchenko's words put to music. That was sung beautifully for you by Chetim Shena from Montreal. They were joined by Mark Bednarchuk, and that song was titled Letit Halka Cheres Balku, A Jackdaw Flies Over the Ravine. Ну, ми вже скінчили нашу програму. Пора нам прощатися на ще один тиждень, бо вже час додому і сказати до побачення. Але перед закінченням я хочу залишити вас такими словами мудрості. Не давай і не випоминай. And our proverb of the week translates as give nothing and demand nothing. Kind of a Ukrainian twist on neither a lender nor a borrower be. Well, that just about wraps it up for another edition of Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. Just a reminder to keep up with us between broadcasts at our website, which is nashholos.com. As well, make sure to follow us on Twitter and Facebook. We've got one more toe-tapper for you before we leave. The By Request Band from Steinbeck, Manitoba, the Just for Glenn Polka. I'm Pavlina. On behalf of all of us here at Nash Holos and AM 1320, thanks for listening and Dobranich!